A dark cloud came down upon poor little Bethany. Lazarus had died. He was the brother of Martha and Mary, the friend of many. He was also the friend of Jesus. And as we hear in the gospel, Jesus loved him and even wept at the death of Lazarus. For some reason, our Lord took 4 days to come to visit the town of Bethany. But Jesus had said that this was all not to end in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. When our Lord came to Bethany and he encounters Saint Martha, we hear a beautiful profession of faith. Martha said that, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." There is faith. And with that, our Lord responded, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he should die, will have everlasting life." "Do you believe this?" To which Martha replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a beautiful profession of faith. With that, our Lord performs the miracle. He raises Lazarus from death to life. Keep in mind, though, that Lazarus returns to a life here. This time, this space, the joys, the sufferings of life, and even to face death once again. But this sets the stage for the greatest miracle of all, and that is the one to come, when our Lord goes to that cross and offers the sacrifice for our sins. Yes, he dies. He's buried. On Easter, though, he rises from the dead. So with that great saving action, the greatest miracle of all, Jesus has conquered sin, suffering, death itself. The darkness of Good Friday gave way to the beautiful light of Easter. This is what we believe. So my brothers and sisters, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, we begin what we call Passiontide. In 2 weeks, we celebrate Easter. In the gospel, after this miracle, the last miracle of the public ministry, our Lord goes into hiding until Palm Sunday. So for that reason, all our statues, sacred images, are covered. So this next 2 weeks is really a day or a time of great intensity spiritually for us. The question is, do you believe? That's what our Lord asks us. So Lent's the time when we always go through that new conversion, that time of renewal, a time to once again profess our faith in a risen Lord. Keep in mind, though, what we profess is in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. We don't just look way ahead to when we pass from this life and have some sense that, oh, there is heaven. No, we live with our Lord. He's a living Savior. He wants us to live now with him. When we think of that word believe, when we go to the Old English roots, it is be living. So isn't that beautiful? To believe is to be a living person in God. And so we look at our life then, and we remember that beginning with our baptism, we have risen to a new life with Christ. This is what St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans. St. Paul says that through Christ, through baptism, we died, and we rose again to live a life with him. In baptism, we were freed from original sin, infused with sanctifying grace, the life and love of the Trinity, and made part of the church. Our faith has been nourished by our family, by our church. We've grown through prayer and study. Christ, though, does nourish us through the Holy Eucharist. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. He strengthens us through confirmation, that outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He forgives our sins through the sacrament of penance. As life goes on, he may call us to a special vocation, which he gives us sacramental graces through marriage, holy orders to live. Towards the end of our life, we receive the anointing of the sick to prepare us. Consider, though, all of this is meant to be a living faith, a faith with a living Lord, a risen Lord. So Jesus is really like that good shepherd who's walking with us, who's taking us by the hand, leading us through the dark valleys, the verdant pastures. And then one day, we pass from this life. We don't look at it as an end. We don't look down at a grave. We don't look into a tomb. We look ahead. Christ the Good Shepherd leads us and presents us to the Father. Granted, we face judgment, and we should never forget that. We one day have to account for our lives. So if we have lived a life of faith and left this life in a perfect state of sanctifying grace, we, God willing, will enter heaven. There we'll see the face of God. How beautiful that is to think that one day we'll see the Holy Trinity, see all the angels and saints. Some of us, most of us, probably will have some kind of venial sin, maybe hurt caused by our sin. Our Lord holds us accountable, but in his mercy, knowing that we've loved him, will cleanse our soul of that sin in that place we call purgatory, and then we will enter heaven. For those, though, who've been dead to God in this life, they've made their choice, and that's what hell is. Hell is a place really of death, death to the love of God, a place of damnation and eternal punishment. Now we go a little further because Jesus and Martha both spoke about the resurrection on the last day. There will be a last day when our Lord comes again to judge the living and the dead. And at that time, as Scripture says, there will be this new heaven, this new creation, new earth. Here, those who are in purgatory will go to heaven, but those here on earth will face judgment. Again, if faithful, they will go to heaven. If, though, they've been dead to God, they will end up in that punishment of hell. On that last day, too, there will be this resurrection of the body. Now, this isn't going to be like some night of the living dead or something like that, but this body will somehow be immortalized, spiritualized, and reunited with our soul. Christ came to redeem us as a whole person. As a whole person, we're body and soul. So while our soul may go, who we are, go before us in death now, at that end time, this body, immortalized, spiritualized, will be joined to that soul. So for those in heaven, this body will be glorified, free of all defect, free of all suffering, just as our Lord's was on Easter. For those who are in hell, though, the damned, that body will not be glorified. They will feel, spiritually and physically, the punishments, the torments of hell. So my brothers and sisters, this is how we live our faith. But again, it is now life with a living Lord, but looking on, hoping one day that our good shepherd will lead us to heaven. We go back, though, to that basic question. Do you believe? Is the faith living in you? That's the question we all have to ask ourselves, especially 2 weeks to go till Easter time. I fear that for some, it is like the walking dead spiritually. There are those that say, well, I'm a Christian, but do not pray. Do not worship God. Do not belong to a church. Make up their own rules. That's a dead faith. Saint or Pope Benedict once said that too many Christians are really practical atheists, meaning they profess, I believe, but practically speaking, in practice, they live like they're dead to God. And so it pains me when I hear confessions for little kids, and a child may say, well, I don't go to Mass. Why? Because my parents don't take me. Why? Because they say we're too busy. I feel sad. Because too busy for God? How can anyone be too busy for God? And yet, that poor child depends upon the parents. Those parents will have to face judgment and account for that decision, perhaps killing the faith of their kids. If we have no time for God now, why would we ever expect to spend everlasting life in heaven with God? It makes no sense. St. James said, what good is it to profess faith without practicing it? Faith without works is as dead as a body without breath. Our faith has to be a living faith. And then, too, some are dead in their conscience. They're dead because they think there's truth somewhere in the Washington Compost or the Wall Street Journal or whatever may be promoted by popular culture. Truth is with our Lord. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So I remember way back when, this goes back to probably my first assignment, but a couple came in for marriage prep, which was always good, and we were talking and so on. Well, eventually I find out they're living together. And they're playing like husband and wife when they aren't husband and wife. And so I tell them this is wrong. And I give them all the sociological, psychological reasons, cite them scripture and verse and so on. And the man looked at me and said, I disagree. You disagree. You disagree with sacred scripture, the word of God. That's a dead conscience. And so, Fulton, so we have people who say, well, I'm a Catholic or I'm a Christian, but I don't agree with this. But I don't accept this. But. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, too many people are going to hell on their butts. Real quote. So we have to think, is our conscience dead? Are we making up our own rules? Or is Christ truly the truth? But then we have to really ask ourselves, what about my soul? Have you taken time for confession this Lent? We all should. We need to. Who of us here can say we're without sin? St. John said, if we say we are free of the guilt of sin, we deceive ourselves. If you say we have never sinned, we make the Lord a liar. Christ came to forgive sins. If we need Christ, then we need to confess our sins. He gave us the sacrament. We need to use the sacrament. I remember years ago, Father Belli preached much about confession. Some of you remember that, as well as I do too. But once this lady left the parish and she said, I'm tired of hearing about confession. I'm happy with the be that I am. Where's the living faith there? If we aren't willing to say, Lord, I've sinned, I need to be forgiven. I hope if you haven't been to confession in this time period, the next 2 weeks, go to the Missal, page 1005, good examination of conscience. If we take it seriously, you and I will all say, we need to confess our sins. The key here is, we're 2 weeks from Easter, and we're asked that question by our Lord. Do you believe? But that believing has to be living, living in Christ. For only when we really live in Christ, then can the glory of God be seen through us. May God bless you.